How's everyone doing? We're here. You know, one of the things that's cool about being in the body of Christ is it's cool meeting new people. This morning, meeting a few people, but as Kenny prayed, and I think the theme this past week, which it should be a continual theme, is this idea of relationship. In the Truth Project, we looked at just how God, you know, when He created, He was all about relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And just everything, you know, He's creating, it is good. And all of a sudden, God says, not good. What was that about? About man being alone. Because our God is a God of relationship, He has created us in His image. We too are about relationships. And I've been blessed. You know, I knew I had, you know, our relationship with you guys and just in the Lord, and then just to be poured upon blessing with this transition with our family. Oh, man, it's cool to be in the midst of the body and to be here this morning to worship together and to be based ultimately upon relationship. And anytime you get an opportunity at your job, which I do all the time, and my friends at work say, man, you're a religious guy. Stop them right there. I say, whoa. No, I'm not a religious guy. I'm about a guy about a relationship. And all of a sudden, what did you just do? You've opened the door to start talking about the difference between relationship and religion. And it just goes from there. And you get all kinds of interesting discussions. And so it's exciting. That's not my topic this morning, although it's important. It's exciting. It may be as we move on. But before I do anything, I got to go to the Lord in prayer. So if you'll join with me, we'll look at God's Word. God, thanks for gathering us together. I just thank you for this body that you've put us in this morning. And as we worship you and how everything just points to you is what it's all about. And that's why we're here. And we come with different baggage, different motives. But Lord, even through that, you will bless for whatever reason you brought us here this morning. That's what's so amazing about you. That is so what's amazing about your word, that it cuts us to the heart and to the motives. And it's only by your Spirit. So as we look at your scripture this morning, may you minister to each one of us. May we be equipped for when we go to our jobs, when we go outside of this building, as we minister to people that you've put us in our paths, may we glorify your name. And for each one of us, it's going to be different. So may you help us in the area of faith as we look at that in the next few weeks. So be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Go ahead and if you want to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, it's going to take a few minutes till we actually get into it. As Pastor Rick, as I knew he was going to be leaving for about 6 weeks, there would be a few Sundays that, you know, between Kenny and I and so forth that we'd fill in. And I began to pray, about 6 weeks ago, just God, or a couple months ago, whenever it was, Lord, what do I share amongst your body? And what's exciting about being in a body that we are here, as I already addressed, is the idea of relationships, is for the most part, I look out and you're my family. So on one hand, yes, it's nerve-wracking to be up here, and it's kind of embarrassing, it's stressful. My stomach does a lot of weird things in the morning, on a Sunday morning, than it does most of the days. But to be in company with family, it puts a little less pressure. Because I know each one of you, you know I'm a goofball. You know that I just want to be like the Lord, just like you do. And so God's laid scriptures that He's kind of brought with me to share unto you. And that's what we're doing here this morning. And so as I was praying about it and wrestling, just what should I share? One of the things that kind of reoccurred in my life, which does many times, is this idea of the word faith. Faith. What do we think of when we hear this word faith? And as we're going to look at it, we're going to find it can go any direction. The simple word of faith we find in scriptures is much different than the word faith that you hear with day-to-day relationships. And so we're going to develop that idea in the next few weeks to look at faith. So this morning, what I want to do is begin to look only, we're not going to get very far, just a couple of verses, faith. And then we're going to transition into communion. We always hear the word faith. You know how many times in the King James Bible faith is used? It's interesting, as I looked it up online, 365 times. Huh. Every day of the year. It's a kind of interesting number that came out with that. But it's used many times in the scriptures. Hey, how many of you guys have ever heard take a step of faith? You guys have heard that? How about lack of faith? A dead faith? Saving faith? We could take a poll here this morning, and I could pull each one of you aside and say, what does faith mean to you? How many different responses do you think we're going to get? Many. Faith is a word that it's really hard to nail down in just one definition, which we're going to try to do and develop in the next few weeks. Is it safe? Here's another question to ask. Does everyone have faith in someone or something? Is it pretty safe to say that, yes, everyone has faith in something or someone? I think the answer would be yes. If you're here this morning, guess what? You must have some kind of faith. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here. But yet, those that aren't here this morning, they also have a faith, don't they? They may have faith in what? Themselves, that I don't need God out there. They may say have a faith that says there is no absolute God, that we're here by chance. Would that be considered faith? Yeah. They're believing something they can't see. There are those also that believe that there's faith out there, but that God's out there, but you know what? He's really not in control. You see, what he did was he created, he let it go like a top, and it's just spinning. No interaction with the creation. He's just from a distance. And there's a song written about it by Bette Miller, From a Distance. That's also a faith, believing that God set things in motion, but he's really not interested in what's going on, that he just allows it to spin out of control. If you look in the Webster's Dictionary, the explanation of faith in that is unquestioning belief, specifically in God or a religion. The second one that it has, complete trust or confidence, loyalty. Some other meanings as I looked around in faith. A belief in supernatural power or powers that control human destiny. How about this one? Trusting in something even when everything around you is telling the opposite. I don't believe that. We're going to develop that as we move on. As you're sitting here, as we move on, I want you to chew on what faith is. How would you describe it? What, is there more to it than just these meanings? Now, obviously, it's an important question, faith, and we each have to wrestle with it and kind of have an understanding and develop it and so forth, and there's things that influence us in the reason why we have a certain kind of faith. But the most important question, as you'll find out, is what? What does God say in the scriptures about faith? So we're going to begin in the scriptures with a familiar passage. And one of the things you'll find is in chapter 11, there's a flat-out meaning in verse 1. But we're going to work through it, because what you find is you begin to look at faith, and we're going to look at it this morning, that there's different kinds of faith. You say, really, there is? Next week, we're going to look at three kinds of faith. And we're going to develop that idea. Then as we move along, we're going to look at some examples of faith, as we work through this, of people in history that have walked on this earth, examples of faith, and people that we can look up to that we may see, man, he's recognized as a man of faith. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Is what God sees totally different than what we see in this word faith? And we're going to develop it. One of the things, it was for me, is I've been challenged in my personal faith. And one of the things in the past year, I mean, just looking around, not only for my family and just taking a step of faith of, you know, just hearing God's call and just things lining up, the timing, the way God does is so amazing. You know, a year ago in March, Liz went down with our team that was sent down with Ginger and Sherry and Rick Bagnell and Juan. They all went down. I think we sent down a group of 7 people to do some work at the school down there. And I remember that coming back, Liz had talked to Emerson and Juliana, the principal, who were going to be coming alongside to support them, needing help. This was a year ago. And when she came back, she was so excited, and we got to move down, or they really need our help. And so automatically, you know, God does this. You begin to start entertaining things, thinking, okay, well, God, is this the timing? Is this something that you're orchestrating and so forth? And so you begin to wrestle, you begin to pray and to seek the Lord and so forth. And it just wasn't the right time for a few reasons. God had put me in a place at my work that I've taken on a leadership position, and they wanted an 18-month commitment, and I wanted to fulfill that commitment and not leave early. Now, that's a secular job, Trav. Is that right? Shouldn't have you listened to God? Let me finish. And so as I'm working that and I wanted to fill that, there was also the timing of the church transition. Remember, a year ago at this time, we were in this building. Well, actually, it's been about a year. This month we opened. It's almost been, can you believe that? 1 year we've been in this building. That's incredible. That is an amazing, fast year. And we've already adjusted and got comfortable. It was hard at the beginning. There was a lot of things that I wanted a certain way and other people wanted. And, you know, you get to see some of our flesh rise and so forth. But it's a good thing. And here we are still fellowshipping. But our church was going through a transition with moving from a building over there to getting this prepared and so forth. And so there was many factors as I pray that it just wasn't the time. And so all of a sudden, here we are a year later. We've all taken a step of faith with the moving of the church from the old building to here, and look how God has provided. Look at your life in the past year and the thing, maybe the stones or the things that God's done in your life and developed your faith and tested you in the last year. Probably a lot of you would agree and say, man, there's been a lot going on in my life last year, and God's put me through a lot, but you know what? It's drawn me closer to himself. And so here we are a year later, and the opportunity arises again, and God just puts it together. My heart was open. My 18-month commitment was fulfilled at my job. I wouldn't have to cut that short. I began to tell the management, and believe it or not, there was a positive response because I was looking at even going part-time or possibly, you know, complete, and they were totally behind me. And here we are making the move, and then all of a sudden, you know, they want more information about what I'm doing. They want to see this newsletter, and all of a sudden they want to raise money too. A secular company wants to get behind me. Now, I'm not saying if I would have left short 6 months, would they have done it? I don't know. But to honor that commitment to them, to see what kind of man that I want to be like God, man, that should ultimately draw people to where? The Lord. And if it's not, then I'm not doing my job. And you're not doing your job in whatever aspect of your life that God's moving. And so all of a sudden, here we are. And God, I announced it, what, 3 or 4 Sundays ago? We're already a little bit more than 50% of the fundraising. We're probably about halfway on our monthly support in 3 weeks. That little tiny step of faith, which was so scary, our house is almost empty already with stuff that's been bought. God's blessing every aspect of this transition as this move. It would be hard to step back and say, well, Lord, I don't know if you really want us to go. In fact, a buddy of my work says, man, I've never known an employee that they want to get rid of you so bad that they give you money to leave. He's a good buddy of mine. I said, that's a good point. They really do want to get rid of me. They'll do whatever it takes. Let's get this guy out of here. But here God pours out blessing upon blessing, and then Pastor Rick gets to leave for 6 weeks and then allows me to love on you guys before we get to move and love on the Belizean people. And that's what we get to do for these last short time. And God gives me this platform to stand up here and do what? To tell people about what God's doing in my life and in your life. What a neat thing God has created. And what it comes down to is having a relationship with him. And as we're going to develop is this idea of taking a step of faith and believing in what who he is and what he can do through us. Does that make clear? Am I kind of moving? I'm not getting too off on any rabbit trails. One thing that's important before as we attempt to move into the scriptures is this. The IBS class, Inductive Bible Study, we've been doing it. We just wrapped it up last Tuesday. There was probably 18 to 20 people every Tuesday night wanting to learn God's scripture, not coming to the scripture that says, okay, I want God's word to say this, so we're going to look at faith this morning because I really want to prove to people what faith is. You just, you know, say whatever you want and God will provide. No, that's not the kind of study inductive Bible study is. Inductive Bible is you come and you extract What is the scripture saying? How does it correlate with other scriptures? And a part of the inductive Bible study, for those of you who have been sitting, is observation, interpretation, and application. You know what the most important part of those three is? Application. Too many times in our lives, we study God's scripture, we know the Bible stories, we know how to interpret and explain it, but the reality is it does not play out in our lives. And I can impress a lot of people with my understanding of scripture and quoting verses or whatever. He's not interested in how we can impress with all the knowledge we have. God wants to see it play out in our lives in a real and practical way. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean we have all the answers to everyone's problem. We just prayed for a brother this morning that, if come to find out, you know, he's wrestling with a disease. And how do you all of a sudden respond that I've never gone through? The only thing we could do as elders is pray. And so we prayed for this gentleman. Doesn't mean we have all the answers. But what we can do is point people to the person who does have the answers. And we can allow him to work. Even though I know that sounds like it's a cop-out, oh, you know, you don't have the answer, so you're going to be like, trust me, God is more powerful than I am. Trust me, you don't want my opinion. You want to go to the source of life. And so here we are with this idea of faith. And as we looked at observation, interpretation, and application, that better be the most important part. And you know what's funny? When you look at observation, interpretation, application, it correlates, it's very similar to faith. There's more to just faith and believing in your head, isn't it? And we're going to develop that as we move on. It can't just be about what we believe or whatever. There's got to be more to it, and we're going to look at that in a minute. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. And I'm not going to hear, I didn't study enough to say, well, I think it's Paul, I think it's one of the other disciples. It doesn't matter to me. It's a powerful book. And you know who it was written to? Hebrews? Oh, I don't know who it was written to. The Hebrew people. You see, they had a problem. They knew about the Old Testament system and so forth, but they were so caught up on it that when Jesus showed up, they had no clue, and they really didn't care who he was. And so the writer says, okay, I'm going to write to you Hebrew people, and I'm going to tie in the Old Testament and correlate it, make it fit in with the New Testament so that you can understand in a clear picture. And boy, does that guy do it. Everything from the angels and the role that they played. Everything with the role of Jesus being the mediator, that he was the ultimate priest, that we don't need sacrifices anymore. Then you hear this character about Melchizedek. And it's kind of interesting. The king of Jerusalem, the king of peace. He talks also about that Jesus is the priest forever, that we don't need to offer animals and sacrifices anymore. But yet he points out, guess what? There is a need for sacrifice. Did you know your sin costs? It does, absolutely. There has to be the shedding of blood, which we're going to celebrate at the end of the service. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The life is in the blood, and it has to be for the forgiveness of sin. And so he points out how Jesus was a prophet, he was a priest, he was a king, and he fulfilled all of this. But then as you read through Hebrews, there's some interesting stuff that, boy, I tell you, you have to really wrestle with. And it's hard to be dogmatic that it says, okay, well, this is talking about this. Because you know what question comes up a lot of times, which we spend nearly almost every Saturday, I'd say, Bill, is about this whole idea of salvation. When was the point where I really knew the Lord? Can we lose our salvation? Guess what? They had the same issues going on in those days, trying to wrestle with people that have supposedly received the Lord, but now they don't walk anything like the Lord. Are they still going to be saved and so forth? Read it and study it your own. It's powerful. It's interesting. So he deals with all those difficult things. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Won't we have the same question? You know, Travis, this person, I know they came to the church, but you know, I haven't seen them in 2 years, and I see them around town, and they're struggling. I say, okay, well, have you approached them and challenged them to see what's going on? Well, no. I said, well, that's what God encourages us to do, out of love. Not to say, what are you doing? No, you come out of love and say, bro, how's it going? We haven't seen you. You encourage them out of love. Right? That's what God does. And you know what I find out as I minister, as I talk to people and they have these questions? I am not interested if the person lost their salvation or where they at yesterday or whatever. You know what God's concerned about is today. Just picture yourself here this morning. God wants to just start afresh. He wants to begin a new work in you. He wants to continue on. And what's done is past. And it's interesting that God is in the eternal. There's no such thing as past, present, or future. It's only now. That's how heaven is. So God, if you're here this morning and you've been rotten, God wants to start fresh with you this morning. He wants to develop a relationship with you, because if you look at your life from beginning to end, what is it? It's a long marathon. And you were a goofball most parts, but God looks at the end. And he looks and he says, all right, have you finished well? You've fallen down, you know, you're not walking the course. Well, get up. Continue to press on. Ask for help from other believers to pray with you, to come alongside with you, to move on. That's how God has done it. Well, did that person? I don't care if they're, I'm not interested in people. The only person that knows in your relationship is who? You and the Lord. That's ultimately, that's who genuinely knows. Now we can look at the fruit and so forth, and you can look at all those scriptures, but the reality is I don't care about the past. Let's move on from the future. If we've had a past relationship, et cetera, how do we move forward and reconcile that relationship? If you had an issue with your spouse or whatever, and you're separated, get it right with the Lord, and then get right with your person. That's how God, that's how he works. If he's relational, he hates divorce, he wants it. This is how he moves. So he deals with all these issues in Hebrews. And as he's working through the scripture, he talks about them, the animals not being sufficient. He talks about the shedding of the blood. And then finally in chapter 11, he kind of, all that, now I'm going to tie it all together and say, how do you move forward? How do you have a relationship with this Creator God? So chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to look at three, just these first three verses. I told you it'd be a long introduction. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, what's cool about scriptures today, remember, it's all translations from the original text. So we don't have a perfect translation unless you're going to read it, and it won't make any sense because of the way it was written. But you know what I really like, which makes it very simple, because I'm a very simple mind, and if you're similar to me, you want it very simple, simply put. The New Living Translation says it this way. Listen to this. I enjoy it. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. I love that, the way they wrote it in the New Living Translation. My brain can handle it a little better. Anyone else? It's a little more to understand. But the idea is there. Something that you can't see and so forth, but you believe in it. Now, so that's ultimately in verse 1 is its nature. Now, how many of us practice an aspect of faith? Now, this is what I want you to throw at as you talk to people that maybe say, well, I'm not sure, you know, I don't really believe in faith, or I don't think we have faith. I just kind of believe that I'm here. God put me here. There's really, not God, but we're just here by accident and so forth. Let me ask you a question. Does everyone practice faith? I think we addressed that for the most part. Yes. Think of the pilot. My family and I are going to fly. We're going to make a quick trip to Tennessee, and then we're going to go to Belize. My kids have never been on the plane. I love my children to death. Are they rugrats? They get in a lot of trouble. They drive me crazy, make my wife and I pull my hair out. Absolutely. That's why I keep it short. And I am going to go on a plane flight. You know what's going to happen as I load and we wait, and hopefully we don't have to wait as long. Pastor Rick had to wait. And we get onto this plane. I'm going to see the stewardess, and they're going to say, hey, welcome to the flight, wherever. For the most part, sometimes they'll have the door open where you'll see the pilot, but for the most part, you don't get to see them a lot of times. So here I am. I'm going to grab my children, who I love, 4 and 5 years old, and we're going to fly 28, 29,000 feet in the air. And I'm going to trust my life, my wife, and my two children to a pilot I've never seen. Is that faith? Am I believing? Am I putting faith in something I've never seen? I've never met this pilot. Is it possible that he's in the front and he had a few beers before he came to work? Yes, it's possible. Is it possible that he could fall asleep while he's driving the plane? Absolutely. I'm putting my life into someone that I don't know, that in 1 second we could be in the ground and we'd obviously be in turmoil, so my perspective is right, but the reality is that is heavy-duty faith, if you think about it. Wow. You stop and think about that for a minute. But we won't believe in a God as we look at creation and be like, wow. And we can't put our faith in it, but we'll put our faith in a pilot that we're not going to see to get us from point A to point B. Man, challenge that with your friends. that don't want to believe in God or don't say they don't believe in faith, that it's all just by a chance. How about another example? A taxi driver. How many of you guys have ever traveled in third world countries? You get in the car with a taxi driver. I wish they were taxi drivers that said, okay, Mr., you know, you're American man, here, here's the keys, you get to drive. I'd feel a lot better, right? Because my faith's in who? Me. But when you get in a car with these guys, and even taxi drivers in Vegas are pretty crazy. But what are you doing? You're practicing faith. You're putting faith in this driver that he's going to get you from a certain point to a certain point. Safely. Not in a car accident and so forth. Once again, is that an aspect of faith? Absolutely. How about your doctor? How many guys go to a doctor? How would you like to be the doctor where you're the first patient he's ever seen? I just got out of school. My buddy Derek Weber, they're going to be going to Africa next May. And he's a PA. He just got, and I talked a few months ago. He goes, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Right now I'm dealing with the ear, throat, and thing, and I'm not really familiar with it. I'm thinking, oh boy. He's all, but it's going good, you know, and so forth. But I wouldn't want to be in that position. I wouldn't want to be on the other side. But somebody's got to do it. Somebody has to give this doctor a chance, don't they? And then all of a sudden, wow, he did a good job. And then they tell a friend, and all of a sudden he's a great doctor. But it started with taking a step of faith, didn't it? Putting faith and saying, well, I believe this doctor, you know, hopefully knows what's going on in my body. There's another aspect of it. How about your car? Every time I get in the car, I go to drive it, I always think the brakes are going to work. Is there a possibility they may go out? Absolutely. But I trust the engineers of Ford and Chevy. I'm not really happy with them all the time when stuff breaks down. But I trust that it's going to get me from a certain point. How about a high-rise building? You guys ever been on a skyscraper? I really haven't, except San Diego, but it was only like 16 floors up or whatever. How many of you guys have ever talked to the engineer, the architect of that building? You haven't. How do you know it's safe? You know. But what do? You go in the building. You take the elevator up. You go look out the edge and look down. And you feel safe, don't you? Another aspect of faith, isn't it? If we begin to look around at our step and our daily thing, I think of my work. I drive what's called a high-reach forklift. I pull stuff down from about 30 feet high off of pallets. There's points where I think very comfortable, and then all of a sudden, about 8 or 9 months ago, I get on one, and all of a sudden, I have something up. I hear this, and all of a sudden, the hydraulic fluid, I'm not really mechanical, is pouring all over the floor. And all of a sudden, thank goodness I was at the place where I was when it happened. I was safe. It reminded me. We all have different jobs that, you know, we take a step of faith with the equipment we use, at the building we're under. I'm not here to scare you, but I'm here to make a point. You're dealing with physical things. You better start thinking about the spiritual and what you're putting your faith into. How about a restaurant? I'm almost done. How do you know that burger's cooked all the way? How do you know the cook's not better spitting in it or whatever? You take a step of faith. And finally, I thought, I took my time to really think through my day-to-day actions of the examples that I put into faith. Just because I know if it helped me, that it would put a little bit more perspective for us. And the last one is a bank. Some of us have a lot of money. Some of us have very little money. How come we don't get my paycheck every week? And why don't I go to my cousin Rick and say, hey, hold on to my bank. Hold on to my check. Then the next week I get another check. I give it to him. Hold on to my check. When I need money, I'm going to come. Why don't we do that? I don't trust my cousin? No. But the point is, who do we have our faith in with our money? Our banks. We put our money in. We know that if I come, they better have that money. If I want to take out the 10 grand in 2 months or whatever, how much it is. It's obviously not my account. But we have faith that this bank is going to keep control of my money, not give it away to anyone else, and then I'll have access to it. We don't really trust our neighbors or our family to hold on to our money, do we? Not we don't want to put the burden, but they get the point. We practice different aspects of faith all the time. And what automatically, if it's putting your faith, mentally what always happens? It's played out in your actions, obedience. We're going to develop that as we move forward. There is something to be said than just faith only in our head, but how it's played out in our lives. So that was kind of my different aspects of faith. Where am I? Faith. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Not seeing things, but yet you put faith in it. I think I developed that idea. Now, verse 2. For by it, elders obtained a good testimony. Right? So we looked at the nature. What is faith? Now the second part that he says in verse 2 is what? The honor associated with faith. How we're recognized by putting this faith into action. For by faith, by it, elders obtained a good testimony. Kind of the name of my series for the next few weeks is By Faith. Only by faith can we enter. Only by faith can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come. I don't remember the rest of the line, but it's a cool song. It's powerful. But that's what we do. By it, they obtained a good testimony. There is honor when God recognizes it. And we're going to see examples as we go. But these are the men of old, favored by God because why? Because of their faith. They were commended for it. How about your life? What does your life look like? If God, would we be a part of this hall of faith as it's called? What is God looking like in your life? What is the most important thing to Him? Verse 3. By faith, once again, we understand that the worlds were framed, designed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Notice the third thing in these first three. It's a way of seeing things. Faith is a way of seeing things and how you do things, the way you see it. Everyone turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. My notes are all messed up here. I'm just going to have to wing it. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, very familiar passage. In case you're wondering, how do we receive this faith? There's a couple of ways that faith comes upon. It can be by sight, or it can be by hearing. Notice how Paul addresses the Romans. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, just sounds like what we're talking about in Hebrews, his invisible attributes. How do you explain that? Well, we don't know what God looks like. We don't have a picture of him, but we can see his attributes. His nature by what? In the things that he has created. How is that seen by? Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clear. In other words, you look around at creation, you can see that, wow, the person, whoever it is, that has created this, is pretty amazing. He had an amazing design, didn't he? Or you can say, this happened. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made it out of nothing, the word bara. His invisible attributes are seen. How many of us just believe that verse and take it for what it is? God created. Well, if you're here this morning, more than likely you do, because that's where it starts, the first verse of the Bible. Any issues throughout the rest goes back to the verse 1. Because if there's a God out there that can create out of nothing, then the rest of Scripture should be fulfilled because he's ultimately in control of nature, and getting swallowed by a whale in story Daniel in the lion's den should be easy to believe if you start with that as your premise, that there is a God out there. So, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So look what it says. They are without excuse. For those that don't want to recognize God, they have absolutely no excuse. Look what it says. This is an interesting verse, which we're going to develop in the next few weeks. Because although they, what does it say there? Knew God, they did not glorify him as God. So these people that say, yes, creation, check mark, there is a God out there. I know there's a God out there. Is that good enough to get them to spend eternity with the Lord according to this? No. They recognize there's a God, there's something out there, but what did they say? They didn't glorify him. Whew. Tear that verse apart there for a sec. Although they knew God, and we always think, well, I know God. Is that enough? Was it enough for these guys as Paul's addressing it? So they, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became foolish, futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Wow. One way to have faith in God or whatever is by looking around at creation. How many of you guys had an impact from your parents being brought up? Yeah. I mean, as we grow up as our children, we're taught the Bible stories or we're told about God. Now imagine those that weren't, that grew up, were never taught about the Bible or whatever, and yet picture you not knowing anything about the God of the Bible, and then you go out and you look around. What would you automatically, your conscience, whatever you want to call it, make you to believe or think? Whew. Somebody did an amazing job with the blue sky, the trees, the desert, the tropical jungle of Belize, the animals, the way they were created, our bodies. It just happened. Just like all of a sudden, we come next Sunday morning, and there's a new piano sitting there. It just happened. Nobody would believe that. Nobody would believe that something would appear, but we'll believe that the world just appeared. It's amazing what we'll put our faith into, won't we? Not common sense. They begin to turn their minds, and the Truth Project covers a lot of this, and it just even takes it to another level. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, very familiar verse. So we see it by the sight, you know, faith as it comes, as we're seeing things, different aspects of our lives. And then finally, another way that we can hear it is by hearing it. Verse 17, very familiar verse, highlighted in your Bible. By the way, if you do not have a Bible, I know I don't use a PowerPoint like Pastor Rick. I'm not good at computers. I wish I was. But I also want you to get to know your Bible. I want you to know, be able to turn and find Bibles and know where Scripture is at. You know, one of the kids we try to practice with our kids and the youth, the children's ministry is doing Bible drills and so forth, where we can find Scriptures, memorizing the books of the Bible and so forth. Even I struggle with it in all order and so forth. But highlight it in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, grab one of those Bibles. It's yours to keep. Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. Where's my other note? Hearing the Word of God. Your parents, your Bible teachers that are in the classroom, that's another aspect of coming to know the Lord is through what? By hearing the Word of God. Notice it says the Word of God. And ultimately, when you think of the Word of God, think of the Word of Christ. Jesus, the Gospel. That's what God was concerned about. That's the way that we examine this aspect of faith. It's a way of seeing things in the way you see the universe, the different aspects of your life. Faith, I hope I've showed you this morning, is important. We have to understand that faith is out there, that we each practice it. And whether you're a believer or not, you're putting your faith into something or someone. The key is to begin to examine your hearts as to where that faith is put. Is it put only upon Jesus in the blood, or is it put on things or other people? As we move on to next week, we're going to look at the three kinds of faith. And you may be saying, three kinds of faith? Yeah, we're going to turn to some scriptures that identifies, interesting, three types of faith. And we're going to walk through them and look at them. And as I said at the beginning when I opened, if you're not here to apply God's word, you might want to think about it. It's not good enough to come here and just to hear it go in one ear and to sound really cool and then to leave this building and not play out in your lives. Now, we're not perfect. We know that. But God's desire is to make us more like him, as we are that word called sanctified, being set apart, as God's Spirit works in your life, as he's moving in your heart right now and wants you to draw him to yourself. That's what God's about. As I close in prayer, we're going to move into the communion. I'm going to do a little different this morning, and so that's why you may think, wow, that's already done. So the guys will come up here, and they're going to lead us in a time of worship, and we're going to look at communion. And we're going to start, and we're going to look at what Jesus did on that last few verses before that, and as he led communion. It's important to note that communion is for followers of Jesus Christ that have professed to put their faith in him. It's vital. We are celebrating the death and the resurrection of our Savior. And so as I close right now in prayer, will you begin to examine your heart? And as the guys come forward, as we begin to hand out the symbols, once again, symbols, and as Kenny and the band lead us in a song of worship, examine your heart as to whether you are in the faith, as it encourages us in Corinthians. And then we will partake together as we look at Jesus talking to his disciples. God, thanks for just your word.